And now we can be...
The Beat on the Street is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, campus and community radio.
Winnipeg, good morning. It's Fantastic Friday. Time for the best and baddest program on the radio station here this morning. Let's go.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4, CM11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B2E9. You can call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Victoria King speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
Here in America, in every single state, they have a set of standards for every subject, a collection of lessons that the teacher is required to teach by the end of the term.
But the greatest lessons you will ever teach us will not come from your syllabus.
The greatest lessons you will ever teach us, you will not even remember. You never told us what we weren't allowed to say. We just learned how to hold our tongues. Now, somewhere in America, there's a child holding a copy of Catcher in the Rye, and there is a child holding a gun.
But only one of these things have been banned by their state government, and it's not the one that can rip through flesh.
It's the one that says F you on more pages than one. Because we must control what the people say, how they think.
And if they want to become the overseer of their own selves,
then we'll show them a real one. And somewhere in America, there's a child sitting at his mother's computer, reading the homepage of the KKK's website. That's open to the public, but that child will have never read To Kill a Mockingbird because the school has banned it for its use of the N-word.
Maya Angelou is prohibited because we're not allowed to talk about rape in school.
We were taught that just because something happens doesn't mean you are to talk about it.
They build this brand new shopping mall
so that we'll forget where we're really standing. On the bones of the Hispanics, on the bones of the slaves, on the bones of the Native Americans, on the bones of those who fought just to speak.
Transcontinental Railroad to Japanese internment camps.
There are things missing from our history books. But we were taught that it is better to be silent than to make them uncomfortable. Somewhere in America,
private schoolgirls search for hours through boutiques trying to find the prom dress of their dreams.
While kids on the south side spend hours searching through the lost and found, because winter's coming soon, and that's the only jacket they have.
Kids are late to class for working the midnight shift.
They give awards for best attendance, but not for keeping your family off the streets.
These
kids will call your music ghetto. They will tell you you don't talk right.
Then they'll get in the backseat of a car with all their friends,
sing about how they're about that life and we can't stop. Somewhere in America,
schools are promoting self-confidence
while they whip out their scales and shout out your body fat percentage in class,
where the heftier girls are hiding away and the slim fit beauties can't help but giggle with pride.
The preppy kids go thrift shopping because they think it sounds fun,
but we go because that's all we've got money for. Because mama works for the city. Mama only gets paid once a month. Somewhere in America,
a girl's getting felt up by a grown man on the subway.
She's still in her school uniform, and that's part of the appeal.
It's hard to run in knee socks and Mary Janes, and all her male teachers know it too.
Coaches cover up star players raping freshmen after the dance.
Women are killed for rejecting dates.
But God forbid I bring my girlfriend to prom.
A girl is blackout drunk at the after party.
Take a picture before her wounds wake her.
How many pixels is your sanity worth?
What's a 4.0 to a cold jury?
What'd you learn in class today?
Don't talk loud.
Don't speak loud.
Keep your hands to yourself.
Keep your head down.
Keep your eyes on your own paper. If you don't know the answer, fill in C.
Always wear earbuds when you ride the bus alone. If you feel like someone's following you.
Pretend you're on the phone.
A teacher never fails.
Only you do. Every state in America. The greatest lessons are the ones you don't remember learning.
Yes, the party start down here at CKUW 95.9 FM. When you dad, we at 515 Portage Avenue, University of Winnipeg, 4.5 floor, Centennial Manitoba Hall. We're there right now when we're jamming it. We're doing the best as we can so you would enjoy the fantastic Friday. You will hear some things about what's going on, and you hear about things that come in. Love and kindness. This is Ross Ricoy with Principal Owner Princess Tim Sulam, Queen Victoria, Dr. T and John. Who is here? Never here? Sometimes Princess Rachel is here, but all the time here, Princess Catherine, keeping us going. Ho! Love and kindness.
No matter is Manuela, and you're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. And the radio show name is called Fantastic Friday. Please come and join us every single Friday morning from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. every Friday morning.
And open prayers leads the day's work. As community and service providers come together inside the newly designed Missing and Murdered First Nations People's Unit within the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs. While this unit helps families after loved ones go missing or are murdered, they also help vulnerable people.
We're seeing easily 100 women come through our doors a month.
That's Melissa Robinson. She leads the five-person team.
We're assisting with housing, access to legal services, navigating the system out there.
Including helping vulnerable relatives get a smartphone through a partnership with TELUS Mobility for Good. The phone is free of charge for the first year to help people find their footing.
To women experiencing domestic violence, it helps them stay connected to emergency supports, family members, service providers, and safety resources.
AMC Grand Chief Kyra Wilson says navigating systems alone can be overwhelming.
We have now the Missing and Murdered First Nations People's Unit. We have the First Nations Family Advocate Office that deals with, you know, supports in child welfare and navigating that system. We have the Patient Navigator Unit here at Eagle Urban, which supports people that are dealing with the healthcare system. Supports cannot be siloed.
And part of that support, Wilson says, comes in bridging relationships, including with the Winnipeg Police Service.
The Winnipeg Police, as well as Chief Bowers, have been open and collaborative with the Assembly of Manitoba Chiefs, and you know, we are working together right now to establish some protocols to allow for some information sharing.
Even sharing the seven sacred teachings in a more unconventional way. This police cruiser is dedicated to helping improve relations in the Indigenous community. Detective Brian Hunter of the Financial Crimes Unit designed the art.
Maybe in another world or another police service could have just had AI make all these images, right?
Hunter, who's Red River Métis, says he wanted to emphasize the handmade qualities of the work.
You know, the very gestural brushstrokes in the work, but also these white stitch marks. I didn't want it to feel like work. I wanted it to feel like it was a passion project. And so I feel, hopefully that comes across. You know, I think some of my favorite shapes are like the turtle, you know, representing truth.
WPS Chief Jean Bauer says this is the first of many steps in moving forward together in reconciliation.
A lot of people are intimidated by the, you know, the uniform. So I think it's an opening for that discussion to feel comfortable to say, hey, what's with that? To talk about the, you know, the seven teachings and to say, hey, we actually, you know, we understand too.
An understanding that Bauer says he continues to work on while having an influential position.
I have to listen, right? And I feel like, you know, my background, I was in Project Devote, Missing Murdered Women's Task Force, and I worked a lot with sexually exploited women and youth, and that really gave me an understanding of where people are coming from, and, you know, they're not asking to be in the situations that they are.
Kara Wheatley, APTN National News, Winnipeg.
Hey everyone, I'm Jess Turner. Make sure you listen to Fantastic Fridays on CKUW 95.9 FM every Friday morning, 6 a.m. till 8 a.m. That's way too early for me. Okay, thanks. Bye.
On the local scene, here comes Afua Cooper.
An Akan woman, a woman who can see far, a woman with the knowledge of herbs, a woman who works in the field cutting cane. A woman who speaks the language of her grandmothers. A woman who tells stories of talking trees and of fabled cities beneath mighty rivers. A woman who was raped on the slave ship by sailors. A woman who flies to Africa when she sleeps. This woman, this niece of Granny Nanny, takes her cutlass and runs with the swiftness of Sogolonkande in her guise as Buffalo Woman. This woman runs with her machete, an ancient chant rising from her throat, an ancient chant imploring God and all the spirits who attend women in childbirth to come to her aid. She says, form a circle around the dead woman. Breathe, give her breath, give her life. This woman, this niece of Granny Nanny, enters the circle with her cutlass, the ancient chant leaping from her lips, cuts open the belly of the dead woman and releases the child.
Iba sojo, iba la roye, shu iba la.
Iba sojo, iba la roye.
Ella Andel.
I want
Hi, I'm Julian Cooper. You're listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. This is my favorite morning wake-up show.
Let you know, I'm loving how they do me slow. Baby, cause I love me, you already know. Got every head turning, I see the press coming. So what you telling me now? Who's that girl? Who's that girl? What's popping? Bad girl, there's no stopping. What's coming? Feeling the energy, adrenaline rushing. Real talk, now real talk, they wanna know.
Girl, I'm a villain, take me as a prisoner since you stand for justice.
I never ain't no bad pass, so we better go loud. Yo, just be ungraceful, wet your love.
Me no say you get wrong, yes, I you know be, but me get blunt, so go up and run away with you. Like my guest, go feel, normally you don't get in the competition, but to the trophy, not trying to gas you, everybody know this, you the body. I said, you know, it, you copy, but girl, she the life of the party, get a one link, cause they need assist. Say many, 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 many girls, them day, but no many girls, I be. She one of one, dangerous, and every time she got me like,
who's that girl? Who's that girl? What's poppin'? Bad girl, there's no stopping. What's coming? Feeling the energy, adrenaline rushing. Real talk now, real talk.
I'ma show up, showing out hard like a cola C. 6'4", 250, hard not to notice me. Ebo blood run deep like the ocean be. So the confidence runs deep, how it's supposed to be. When my tribe pulls up, trust, you can tell. Fine girl, dressed at 120 decibels. Dude stacked, throwing cash like a wishing well. Unrivaled the prestige, no Christian Bale. Insecure rappers wanna sweat me. Just comes with a turk, ass is a curse and every blessing. Though I've learned in church, there's a verse for every test. And since you diss me, I'll give you a hearse and a procession. Ain't no one on earth I can compare with. Showed up to the doc and said, sir, I got a question. Why is it that I'm on serving while I'm stepping? He said, nothing I can do because it's a terminal condition. Damn. Look, so what can a zebra like me do but show out? Saying you the realest, better check Snopes out. All these emperors be looking hella exposed now. We moving up, standing all toes down. While they moving corrupt, no Ricardo Brown. Without us, it be like a ghost town. Because we don't just show up, homie, we gon' show out. One thing about a stepper like me is I'ma show up. One thing about a stepper like me is I'ma show up. And act like me, oh. Baby, pick the guy, whoa. For a minute, about whoa. Feel like me, pick the guy. He don't know,
Please continue listening to Fantastic Friday on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. Oh, yeah.
This is for my city dwellers, my storytellers, my soundscapers, music makers, and my dreamers of dreams. This is for the beat layers, the street sayers, the graph writers, and the painters. This is for the crate keepers, the image freezers, the lens seekers, and the photogs. This is for the spinners, the rewinders, drop the needle, pull it back, and come againers. This is for the movers, the body users, the kinetic acrobatic defying gravity provers. This is for the filmmakers, the actors, the activators, my sculptors, and my cans. Sprayers. This is for the da-da-dubbers, the dancers, the scribers, the scholars. This is for the freestylers, my improvisers, my poetical, lyrical, spiritual vocalizers. This is for my speechifiers, for the visionaries, for the bridge builders, the chain breakers, the power takers. This is for the door crashers, my drum beaters, the call to action taker to the streeters. For my behind the sceneers, my planners, my finders, our on task and right on timers. For our organizers, our survivors, our motivators, and our strivers. This is for the uplifters and uprisers. This is for you, our ancestors. This is for you, our people blessers, our children, for our vision, for our villages, our hoods, our nations, our truths. This is for our culture, for our generation. This is for our creator and our creation. This is for our inner being and our outer, for our say it louder, big and prouder. This is for the art, for the word. This is for the sound. This is for the power.
Power to the people. You couldn't see it better. And here comes some Igbo music. Some of it will be interpreted by Prince Ugona. Hold tight, Prince Ugona.
Yeah, this first tune, Awimla Bia Jalibo. And refers to a popular spiritual and cultural song by the Igbo flutist Ajalibo. Translated literally from the Igbo language, Awimla means the ocean, great river is coming. Al Ajalibo, his name, translates to the Igbo flute. So in Igbo cosmology, Awimla signifies the vast ocean. So the song talks about the different oceans, the different rivers, and evokes the spirit of the water and the river goddess. I hope you enjoyed this tune.
Hey, Chupu, as you work in work at Naboku, Chukwei, Chupu Nabia Kennelly, Chupu Kimu Naboku, Chupu. Let's say, give up, Mamma, say, was it Chupu again? Namubia Kennelly. You'll be on even a man, even a man, and he will Chupu. Chupu ya kene, divene men Africa chupu, umu Africa kini enola, umu Africa kini enola. Wake up Africa, wake up Africa. Alele weme, no more no more na more chupu.
All right, so for this next song, some people might think he's referring to Igbo as the people, but you would be misled. It's actually Igbo, which is a slang for cannabis or marijuana. So he's literally talking about getting high and feeling the vibes. Hope you enjoy it. It's a good compliment to the last tune, which had a lot of flutes. Enjoy.
I like this music. That's why I listen to Fantastic Friday with Ras Rico I.
Depuis
chalaye ou. Si t'as des problèmes, chalaye ou. C'est le 13 gang, chalaye ou. C'est la vraie life, j'y vais barrer ou. C'est la Yemen Kou, Ibo, 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 façon Yemen Kou, Ibo, 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 c'est la Yemen Kou, Ibo, 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 façon Yemen Kou.
Je vais toujours pas y pour mes nougis, et c'est l'envie qu'on va tous affronter.
Canada, le gouvernement.
Alright, this last tune, Come and See, is an uplifting Igbo highlife track about God's good blessings and overcoming hardships. The lyrics express the singer's thankfulness to God for unexpected favor, inviting listeners to witness the visible success and abundance that God has brought into his life. Enjoy.
Watch the sun, watch out, anything now shock out, get washed out. Watch on the kingdom out and the queen, I come out, watch out, spread the carpet. One thing we have to tell on us, so watch out. Adam Ramsey. Adam Ramsey. Watch me now, it name murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Shuffle the date, me and the queen in a day park. Look how me cute and sexy like that. And me plant the con, so no better watch that. Show me step up in a life, them want to give me a fight. Show me look cute and them no look too right. They call a need to over me, man a fight. And that now one no time in a them life. Me no cut up, I can model every time. Absolute niceness, coming with pay rhyme. First class dress code and your style a lick. The quality, my feet come back quick. Cause murder me wrote and me no take back me chat. Truffle did it, me a the queen in a the park.
Hi everyone, my name is Belaine Osman. I'm a student here at the U of W. My students actually call me Madame Oz. Just letting you know, CKUW has an awesome show called Fantastic Friday, and you guys should listen to it. Stay tuned.
Wait, hear this?
Think you where you come from? As long as you're a black man, you're an African. No mind your nationality, you have got the identity.
And perspicacity.
Cause if you come from Clarendon,
that don't matter.
And if you come from Portland,
that don't matter.
And if you come from Westmoreland,
it really don't matter. But coming from you all the way from West Africa, in the country called Nigeria, the brother they called Prince Ogoni, probably soon to be king. He might be crowned and Prince of the Igbo peoples in the diaspora. Is that a good title?
Maybe.
Anyhow, we come in and tell you some things that happen in the world to people who being oppressed, and also the black people that they've been eliminated from the world. You don't believe me? Watch out. Pensukona.
Yes, good morning, Vasuka, and good morning to all of our listeners. Unu kedu kekwanu, greetings from Africa. And my first piece comes from the Mkosi Now. We speak with Rebecca Nagle, who partnered with leading indigenous scholars on a new documentary podcast called First America. The series challenges the conventional U.S. origin story by examining the experiences of indigenous peoples and addresses how laws and legal doctrines first uses them to dispose indigenous nations continue to impact questions of executive power, immigration, xenophobia, citizenship, territorial expansion, and U.S. foreign policy today. Stay tuned.
Absolutely. So the part of the Declaration of Independence that we all know is the beginning part with those Enlightenment ideals, all men are created equal. But when you read the document, actually most of it is this list of grievances. So it's our founders kind of listing the reasons why they want to rebel against England. It's all the ways that King George III has hurt the colonists. And a lot of historians think that that list has an order, that it starts with smaller things and that it ends with their biggest complaints, their biggest grievances. And the last grievance in the Declaration of Independence is about merciless Indian savages. And so when you read the document, you know, according to our founders, in their own words, the thing that they were most angry about was Native people. Yet, for 2.5 centuries, the story of the American Revolution that we have all been told is that it was about taxation and representation. And we're frankly just missing the truth of why the American Revolution even happened in the first place.
Yeah, next, we speak with Abba Kawaz, who campaigned on affordable housing, universal health care, immigration reform, public transit, climate action, and opposition to U.S. support for Israel's genocide in Gaza. Stay tuned.
It's incredible to be the first Palestinian and Muslim woman in the New York State Legislature. And that is for many reasons, but beyond representation, I believe that is really mostly because as a Palestinian, I come from a group of people who have been waiting for years and years and years for politicians to speak out against the human rights abuses, the genocide, the occupation of our people. And we are a group that has been erased, has been ignored, and has been denied our rights by people in office. And so to actually have the opportunity to be elected into office in this moment is so monumentous because it really gives a chance for us to not only go in and advocate for working class communities, for communities that are struggling, but also advocate for communities that are erased, like the Palestinian community. But it also gives us a chance to go in with strength and to say, this is what people want to see. Now, you mentioned, you know, the president and him talking about democratic socialists as if we are a threat. When really what we are saying is that we want to make sure that people who are struggling are provided the best social services possible by our government, are provided the best transit, the best education, you know, the best health care possible, the most affordable health care possible by our government, our same government that is spending billions of dollars killing people abroad. So for me, that is not a threat to people. I think that is a really hopeful message that so many Americans and so many people are looking for. And that is why we were able to win in these landslide victories. So I worked with then Assembly Member Mamdani years ago to help write and introduce a bill called Not on Our Dime. Now, we had found out as Palestinian activists on the ground that millions of dollars were being raised in New York State to fund settler entities, to fund settlers going to Palestine to steal Palestinian land, to commit atrocities against Palestinians, to commit violence against Palestinians. And we said that is not okay for these organizations that are raising these monies to do that under the guise of charitable status. And that was something that we introduced to the New York State, both through socialists in office, then Assembly Member Zohran Mamdani and Senator Jabari Brisport. And one thing that is really fundamental about what we did was that when we introduced that bill, people thought that that would be the end of Zohran Mamdani's career. People had said that to him. People had said that this was, you know, one step too far. And what we saw was that in the mayoral election, that his being part of introducing the Not on Our Dime bill, him standing up for Palestinian human rights, him having a politics of conscience and consistency on this issue was something that really pierced through to voters' hearts and made them really feel committed and feel like he could actually deliver on the affordability agenda that he promised because of how consistent he was in his politics.
Next, we speak with Princeton historian Eddie God, who speaks about his new book titled How Race Shadows the Nation's Anniversaries. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, you know, it was an initial moment of fear and trepidation, and I had to say it. I wanted to announce that I have no interest in the idolatry of the state, that I'm more interested in loves closer to the ground, ordinary people. But I also had to foreground the wound, my own interior experience. You know, as a growing, my dad was the second African-American hired at the post office in Pascagoula, Mississippi, and he moved his family in Moss Point from one side of town to the other. And I've told this story in Democracy in Black. I'm playing with my Tonka truck and with my new friend, and his dad came out and said, "Stop playing with that N-word." And at that moment, America told me what it thought about me. And then I took my truck and went inside, and my parents went to work to keep me from believing what the world said about me.
How did they do that?
Oh, they put a crown above my head. You know, they told me that, you know, I come out of a grand tradition, that my life was my own to create, that there's something wrong with them, in a way. And that was affirmed when I went to Morehouse and the like. So I'm always puzzled when people think I should love the country. They expect gratitude when I'm more interested in loving the people who make the country what it is. Everyday people don't have to be subject to monarchical rule that they can engage in self-governance. But it's also deeply contradictory because it's wrapped in the horrors of slavery. Right. And so 1776 for me is this moment of profound complexity and contradiction, right, where you have this idea that everyday ordinary people can engage in self-governance, but it happens alongside of the horrific relationship between the trafficking of black bodies and the introduction of the modern world. And these things are happening all at once. Colonial settlers, all this stuff is happening at once. So we have to unpack that date for what it represents in some way.
Next, we go to Dr. Jemima Pierre, who is an editor and contributor to Black Agenda Reports and a professor at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. She discusses the continued occupation of Haiti, which includes killings committed by U.S. mercenaries under the direction of Eric Prince, U.S. interference, and pressure on Haiti's neighbors in the region, continued violations of its sovereignty, and pose great dangers to its people. Stay tuned for that.
The current president, Gustavo Petro, has raised some issues regarding what he believes might be interference on the part of Israel and by extension the U.S. With the possibility that some of the machines were hacked and that votes were altered. So those machines apparently have been turned over to the authorities and will be examined. It's unfortunate that that's going to have an impact on the official announcement of the winner. We know that most of the classic media and even media in Colombia have designated the winner to be the right-wing candidate, but that is not official until it is in fact announced by the authorities who are conducting the election. So, you know, it's going to add to the tensions that have been mounting in the run-up to the election, the tensions that have always existed here in Colombia because of the pivotal role of Colombia in terms of regional politics, and even more so now that the Trump administration has been systematically attempting to undermine Colombia. And as you said in your introduction, Donald Trump interfered once again in the election by endorsing the right-wing candidate, something he's done in Argentina and in Honduras. And so it's going to have a stain on the election, but it is something that was almost inevitable, something that most people predicted, and will have an impact no matter what direction it goes on regional politics. Well, the U.S. is operating as a rogue state. That all of the standards of state behavior have been completely abandoned. The U.S. has declared that it is going to pursue its interests and not be bound by any constraints from international law or any kind of international standards.
Our last piece from Black Agenda Radio, we speak with James Counts, who talks about the latest U.S. efforts to undo the Cuban Revolution and Cuba's determination to retain its sovereignty while under an increasingly harsh blockade.
Yeah, so let me give you some context to the talks that took place in Switzerland yesterday for about 18 hours, very extended talks that Iran and U.S. had. But so on April 8th, there was a very fragile ceasefire, and there was fighting happening even after the ceasefire. So both U.S. and Israel violated the ceasefire, and U.S. was bombing targets, especially in the Persian Gulf region. And Iran was responding in a very escalatory way. So Iran was not doing the tepid response that it did after the assassination of Qasem Soleimani in 2020, and then again after U.S. struck its nuclear facilities in June of 2025. Both of those Iranian retaliations were very tepid because they gave Americans warning and they didn't use too many missiles. And there were no American soldiers or personnel on the ground when the Iranians retaliated. But this time, after the ceasefire, when the U.S. broke the ceasefire, Iran retaliated very strongly in targets against in Kuwait and Bahrain and even as far as Jordan. But so what ended up happening is I think eventually the Trump administration realized that they cannot really do much about this war, that they're losing, and that, you know, if they keep bombing Iran, Iran will just escalate and will keep the Strait of Hormuz closed, even with the blockade of the blockade, which was the American blockade of Iranian transit through the Indian Ocean, which by most of the accounts that I've seen was less successful than Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz, because the strait is much smaller than the Iranian ships that are passing through much greater waters. So because of Iran's upper hand and advantage in the war, U.S. last week finally agreed to a memorandum of understanding that is heavily in Iran's favor. So there are 14 points. Points 13 and 14 are very procedural in nature. They're more about the implementation, but the rest of the 12 points, points 9 and 10 are about Iran's nuclear program, but there's nothing really new about it. They're the same things that Iran was doing under the JCPOA, under Obama's nuclear deal. And so there are 10 points left after I just explained those 4 points. And the remaining 10 points are heavily in Iran's favor, because every 10 point is basically a concession that the U.S. is giving to Iran.
For our last piece, we are going to play James L's rendition of Frederick Douglass's speech, "What to the Slave is the Fourth of July," or "What is the Fourth of July to Black People All Over the U.S.?" Stay tuned for that.
Born into slavery around 1818, Douglass became a key leader of the abolitionist movement. On July 5th, 1852, in Rochester, New York, Frederick Douglass gave one of his most famous speeches, "What to the Slave is Your Fourth of July." He was addressing the Rochester Ladies Anti-Slavery Society. This is James Earl Jones reading the historic address during a performance of Voices of a People's History of the United States. It was co-edited by Howard Zinn. The late great historian introduced the address.
Frederick Douglass, once a slave, became a brilliant and powerful leader of the anti-slavery movement. In 1852, he was asked to speak in celebration of the 4th of July.
Fellow citizens, pardon me and allow me to ask, why am I called upon to speak here today? What have I, or those I represent, to do with your national independence? Are the great principles of political freedom and of natural justice embodied in that Declaration of Independence extended to us? And am I, therefore, called upon to bring our humble offering to the national altar and to confess the benefits and express devout gratitude for the blessings resulting from your independence to us? I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn. To drag a man in fetters into the grand illuminated temple of liberty and call upon him to join you in joyous anthems were inhuman mockery and sacrilegious irony. Do you mean, citizens, to mock me by asking me to speak today? What to the American slave is your 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him more than all other days of the year the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is a constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham, your boasted liberty an unholy license, your national greatness swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless, your denunciation of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence. Your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him mere bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy, a thin veil to cover up crimes that would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation of the earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. At a time like this, scorching irony, not convincing argument, is needed. Oh, had I the ability and could reach the nation's ear, I would today pour forth a stream, a fiery stream of biting ridicule, blasting reproach, withering sarcasm, and stern rebuke. For it is not light that is needed, but fire. It is not the gentle shower, but thunder. We need the storm, the whirlwind, the earthquake. The feeling of the nation must be quickened. The conscience of the nation must be roused. The propriety of the nation must be startled. The hypocrisy of the nation must be exposed, and the crimes against God and man must be proclaimed and denounced.
James Earl Jones reading the words of Frederick Douglass.
Yeah, man.
Mm-hmm.
that was James Earl Jones, and it was played again for the purposes that people hear and listen, because sometimes James Earl Jones talks out loud enough for people to hear and articulate enough, but most of our ears have been shut down to atrocities against us, and we're helping to celebrate love and kindness. Martin?
Mm-hmm, how's it going?
Martin?
Yes, how's it going?
Yeah, you can talk to him.
Martin? But I ain't hearing him.
Your headphones are not on.
But the headphones not even working. You there?
Okay. Yeah, you hearing it?
Still not hearing him. Yo, man.
Yeah.
Oh, I barely hearing you.
Oh. I don't know.
You could turn up the volume for him?
It's out the way.
Oh.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we won't be able to do this because you're not coming through clear here. I don't know if on the radio you're coming through, but I could ask you a question, but don't hear your answer.
Oh, okay.
I hear you saying, yeah, okay, and thing, but mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But
anyhow, still, can you tell us something what coming up for the week or so, and then... we could
today's,
go, yeah.
Okay, the date is what now? This on what, the 2nd or 3rd or something like that?
Any today? Events that are coming up?
We have on the Sunday coming up, unless they cancel it today with any rain, as far as I know.
Mm-hmm.
But we're supposed to try the Bar Italia thing. This is, again, High Road Band.
Mm-hmm.
High Road is supposed to be playing at the Bar Italia this Sunday. Next one would be coming up at July 12th, but the earlier one is this Sunday, starting at 7 o'clock until 10. Hopefully there's not rain, because then they'll cancel it. I think we were to attempt the last one last week on the Sunday, but it was called off. I don't think it ended up rain, but it was called off still.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it should be this Sunday. And the next one after that would be on July the 12th, as far as I know, unless something gets changed around.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, should be some little rock and punky and reggae and thing like that out on the patio if it does not rain, mm-hmm. and it would be this Sunday. At 7 o'clock till 10. But we'll see. We'll see what the weather does do, because sometimes it chooses to rain and sometimes it doesn't. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right.
So that's the next.
I don't know how the public gets in this out there, but I know the volume here not so good. Anyhow, we look forward to next week, because this is too hard to work through.
Oh, okay. That's
I wish
good.
That people hearing you out there, but I don't know. That's just a wish.
Okay,
love and kindness.
All right.
We're going to pick up again, yeah.
All right, have a good day, everyone.
Aye.
All right, one love.
Merchant ships.